It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
All right, welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. And this week it's all basketball with the SEC tournament set to start in about an hour. And we'll see what lies after that for Missouri, a guy who's played in a few big games in Columbia, Missouri, now playing his basketball over in Germany. Former Mizzou Tiger Ricky Paulding joining us. Ricky, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. And first off, just I think I got it right that you're in Germany. Kind of update everybody on what you're doing these days.
Yeah, I'm playing in Germany. This is my seventh season, and just enjoying it. We're on a pretty good team. Actually, we just signed Trayvon Bryant last month, so it's good to play with him again, and just enjoying playing basketball.
You have played all over the place. How many different countries you played in over in Europe since you left Mizzou?
I started off in Israel, and then I played two seasons in France, and then I've been in Germany for the last couple of years.
Okay, now basketball is, you know, a lot of guys leave and go into the NBA draft, whatever. You were picked up by the Pistons, I know, in the draft, but a lot of people don't realize how many places there are to play basketball for money. You know, what league are you in, and how many different leagues are there over there that are options for guys?
Pretty much mostly every country has a league. And then we have what's, you know, like a Euro League where you play the top teams from each country. And then they have a Euro Cup where you play kind of the middle teams. And it's if you want to play basketball, I think there's definitely a country or a place for you to play. It just depends on the living conditions and competition and money.
What's it like where you're at? It's in Oldenburg, Germany, and what's the town like? What's it like living over there?
It's a quiet town. It's not so big. It's but it's great for my family. I have three kids, and it's a pretty safe town. Kids can walk around and have fun. But there, we don't have a soccer team, so the teams are there. They're really supportive of the basketball team, so that's great. We get a good crowd every night, and it's a fun place to play.
What I don't know, how old are your kids, and are they at an age yet where they can kind of appreciate the chance they're getting to live somewhere like that? But I guess that's probably really all they've known. But at some point, I assume they'll kind of appreciate the opportunity they got.
Yeah, well, my oldest son he's six, and he's in school here in Germany, so he's kind of picking up on that. You know, I play basketball from his friends telling him and kind of being excited about the team. And my youngest, I have a girl, she's 9 months, and my middle child is three. So they still don't quite understand. They know we're in a different country, but they don't really get it yet.
Right. Now, you mentioned that Trayvon signed and is playing with your team. You play with any other guys or against any other guys who, you know, Missouri fans might recognize the name back from your days in school?
Yeah. Jimmy McKinney, he's playing on another team in Germany, so I've been playing against him, you know, twice a year for the last couple of years. Jason Conley was here a couple of years ago. Keith Ramsey is here in Germany. I play against him, and in the preseason I played against Marcus Dedman and Leo Lyon. So, you know, you run into those guys every now and then. Basketball is a small world, so it's good to see those guys, even though we didn't play together.
Right. How much do you – I mean, I'm sure it's pretty difficult, especially with the seven-hour time difference. How much do you still get a chance to pay attention to Mizzou basketball or even catch a game every now and then?
It's difficult with the time change. If I can catch a early Saturday – early weekend game, then I'll watch them. But I catch a few games, I keep a few highlights every now and then.
You still keep in pretty close touch with guys you played with or your coaches from Mizzou at all?
Yeah, every now and then I see Coach Snyder. We kind of shoot an email, or usually I see him, you know, once in the summer. I still talk to Arthur Johnson pretty much. Let's see, really other guys we just kind of, you know, shoot an email or shoot a Facebook message every now and then in passing.
Mm-hmm. Want to go back to some of your days at Mizzou, and the first question that I've always wanted to ask you since you left, because I was covering the game in Manhattan, Kansas, and a lot of Missouri fans like to talk about anytime they see a good dunk, what's the best dunk in Missouri history? I know you had a couple in the NCAA tournament against Ohio State that people will say, but I always say the best one that counted was when you somewhat insulted Frank Richards in Manhattan, Kansas. Tell me about that one, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think Jason Conley was wide open, but I think I was upset that I didn't get a foul call in the previous play, so I just wanted to go to the basket, and I didn't expect him to get in the way like that, but that was just one of those moments you can't explain, and I'm sure Jason Conley's probably mad at me for not passing the ball.
Well, that's one this is a family-friendly podcast, so we won't go into detail, but I think Frank Richards had an imprint of certain body parts on his chin after that one for a little while.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that one.
All right, now, you said you follow it a little bit. Obviously, you played in the Big 12. You played in places like Manhattan and Lawrence and all that. Missouri's getting ready to tip off the SEC tournament. Watching it from the outside, is that still a weird deal for you, seeing them play in places like Georgia, LSU, Kentucky, instead of the places you spent your college career?
Yeah, it's so weird because I've never played in those places, and so when you see them playing in Florida and in Kentucky, it's strange. But at the same time, I'm happy for those guys. It's this year was, I guess, not as good as they thought it was going to be, but they're still having a chance to play in the tournament and the SEC tournament and hopefully do well.
You played in a year that to me could be a lot like this one. That 2002 team that you were on, I mean, there was a ton of talent on that team, and the regular season really was I think it's fair to say fairly disappointing. And then you guys do squeak into the tournament, and all of a sudden you win three games, and everybody, you know, looks at that as one of the seasons that they're going to remember for a long time because Missouri goes to the Elite Eight. You know, what's your take on, I mean, how much is put on three or four games in March as opposed to what you do over 30 years in college or 30 games in college basketball?
I think those three or four games in March, that was the games everybody watched. During the season, during the conference play, you know, you get your fans and a few people watch, but tournament time, that's when people who don't normally watch basketball, they watch. And if you can perform well and during those games and people see you, I think people remember those games more than the 30-game season.
Yeah, one of the things I always like to ask guys who played here when I talk to them down the road, and again, we're talking to Ricky Paulding, former Mizzou basketball player, is of the guys you had a chance to play with at Missouri, who was the best player you ever played on a team with?
At Mizzou?
Yeah.
I got to say Kareem Rush. Kareem was pretty talented. And I didn't realize how talented he was till after I finished school and you saw some of the old games or even to see him play in the NBA. He was really talented. And he was a lot of fun to play with. Clarence Gilbert was just so tough mentally. Like he fought so hard for everything, and he had so much passion and love for the game. And a guy that was a great leader for me was Brian Grauer. I only played with him 1 year, but he made such an impact on me. I was a young guy, and I feel like I learned a lot from him, leadership wise. And those three guys kind of stuck out in my mind to me.
The flip side of that, who was the best guy you played against, whether you guarded him or he was just on the other team and you kind of had an up-close view of him?
Let's see. I think 1 year we played Syracuse when Carmelo Anthony was there. So that's the one that kind of jumps out in my mind right away. He was a pretty tough cover.
Yeah, he had a decent year in college, I think. It's kind of crazy to me. I'm sure it is to you too. You've been out of school for 10 years now, playing professionally. How's your game changed? I mean, are you still capable of hurdling a guy and dunking, or do you have a little bit more old man's game now?
I think I'm still capable of hurdling, just not so much. Maybe I kind of save it for the games. In practice, I'm kind of a little bit more below the rim. But pretty much, I think I'm still kind of the same player. Being aggressive and going to the basket is kind of still my game. The dunks are not as frequent as they were when I was younger.
I got you. Got to put on YouTube to relive some of that. I looked at your numbers: 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists a game. You still got a while left in you, you think, or is this starting to come down to a point where you're looking at what comes after basketball?
I think I still got a little while left in me. I'm still having fun, and it hadn't become a drag yet. I still enjoy playing the game, and it's funny now that I'm kind of considered the older guy on the team. So when we get new players and rookies to come over, it's fun to kind of teach them and show them the ropes like people did when I was a young guy.
Whenever it is time that you move on, what is kind of your goal? Where do you want to go after basketball's done? Do you want to stay in the game and coach or something, or do you have your eyes on something else?
I've been thinking about it a lot. I think maybe getting the coaching, but I don't see myself as kind of like a head guy. Maybe just kind of a assistant, kind of more in a personal interaction with the players, whether it's helping them to develop the game or stuff off the court. So I think I definitely want to stay in the basketball. I just don't think I'm a head coach kind of guy.
I got you. Now, you've been there 7 years. You and your kids fluent in German, or is most of the communication in English?
For me and my wife, most of it is in English. We can kind of order food and understand what people are saying. But my son, my 6-year-old, and my 3-year-old, they're in school here, so they're pretty fluent in German, and so it's embarrassing, but there are translators.
All right, now what about like in the huddle? You got a teammate from Germany, I see, another guy whose name, honestly, I could try to pronounce, but I can't. I'm assuming he's Russian or Czechoslovakian. What's the coach speaking in the huddles?
English is the mostly used language. I think most of the guys on my team have been in Germany for a while, so we can understand German, but it's better just to speak English for everybody can get the point.
All right, where are you guys at in your season? I mean, how much more do you have left, and what's kind of the schedule over there?
We have 9 games left in the season, so kind of in the back half. Right now it's 1 game a week, but in April it'll pick up to 2 games a week to kind of finish out by the end of April, and then playoffs start in the beginning of May.
All right, now last thing, you we talked about signing Trayvon and you guys kind of being back together. How nice is that to have a familiar face? I think you and he and AJ are kind of the 3 guys that everybody – I mean, nobody – no Missouri fan can talk about one of you without talking about the other 2.
Right. It's so fun to play a game with Trayvon, and he's such a smart player, and it's funny because I'm having all these flashbacks from us playing together in college, and it's just great. I think it's funny you say that because I hear that a lot. People always ask how AJ's doing, how Trayvon's doing, and I think we had a really special class, and it's just an honor to be able to play with him again.
What's the one memory that stands out kind of above the rest for you from your guys' time at Missouri?
I think the one you mentioned earlier, that run we made to Elite Eight, just feel like we got a second chance when we entered the tournament, and we were just trying to make the best of it. And we were a pretty talented team, and came up short, obviously in the end, but that year was a lot of fun.
A lot of guys say, I talked to guys on the 1994 Missouri team that went unbeaten in the Big Eight, and they say they don't really remember all the ones they won. They remember the one they lost that would have got them to the Final Four. Is that true of you, or have you been gone long enough you can kind of appreciate the ride without worrying about the game against Oklahoma?
No, I watched it recently, actually, and I just, you know, we missed so many opportunities. I think we shot horribly from the free throw line, and I didn't realize at the time, but we were so close. And so that one still kind of hurts, but that's just one game, and I've had so many other great memories there. Yeah, that I'm able to forget about it a little bit, I guess.
And I don't want to end on a bad note or anything, but, you know, obviously your last couple of years here, there was a lot of turmoil, and I remember just from talking to you guys, you and AJ and Trayvon, all that stuff kind of overshadowed the basketball. Any regrets about, you know, the way it ended? I know it was completely beyond your guys' control, but were those two pretty tough years?
Yeah, especially our senior year, because we decided to come back and play together and try to finish our senior year out, and I think we had a lot of high expectations for our team, and it was pretty disappointing to have that distraction and not be able to perform like we wanted to perform. But I mean, I guess you try to look at it as a 4-year career, and you know, we had a great time playing together. But that last year was definitely tough with the expectations we had for our team and just the way it ended.
All right. Well, Ricky, I appreciate you taking some time, man. I know it's hectic over there with three kids and the time change and everything. But good luck the rest of your season. And if you ever make it back to Columbia, I know a lot of Mizzou fans would love to see you at a game here sometime.
Okay. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, Ricky. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Ricky Paulding, former Missouri Tiger, and I tell you, folks, we talked about it, but that K-State dunk, if you weren't a Missouri fan at that point, if you don't remember, you know, YouTube it. Ricky Paulding, Kansas State, it is, in my opinion, still the greatest dunk in Missouri history that counted. I'll put Keon Dooling and Lawrence up there in the discussion, but Ricky Paulding did some things that, I tell you what, he was fun to watch. He and AJ and Trayvon Bryant, that was a fun time in Missouri basketball up until, like he said, his senior year, and we all know what happened. I feel bad for those guys because I think they had a chance to really have a good 4-year run, and that fourth year kind of got taken away from them, to be quite honest, by Quinn Snyder and Ricky Clemons and everything that happened off the court. But Ricky, again, 10-year pro career, 7 years in Europe. Listen, with guys going pro every year, some guys leaving early, and we're talking about first round, second round pick. Hey, there's a lot of places to make a lot of good money and a lot of memories playing basketball. Ricky Paulding certainly doing well. If you want to look him up, he plays for a team called EWE Baskets Oldenburg in Germany. You can see their roster, see the stats, the schedule, all that. He mentioned Trayvon Bryant's on the team. Another site I came across in trying to find Ricky, usbasket.com. You can go and you can find former players from pretty much every school in the country where those guys are at. So if you want to check up on some former Mizzou guys that are playing pro ball but not in the NBA, that'll give you the rundown of where everybody's at. All right, we're going to check in now. Current Missouri basketball, and Pete Scantlebury down in Atlanta, Georgia for us about an hour from tip-off, Missouri, Texas A&M. Pete, you covered shoot-around and press conference yesterday. Does anybody down there have any idea which Missouri team's showing up for this tournament?
I don't think so. I mean, granted, you know, I haven't covered the team as much as you have this year, but from a press conference standpoint, they seem to be saying the same things they have all season. And then the shoot-around, I mean, you don't really get a whole lot out of that. I know that it seems like the key to this game and maybe this tournament is Keanu Post. It seems like they're coming in with a lot of expectations for him to play a lot more and to be aggressive on both ends of the court, but I think it's still kind of wait and see for everybody, at least that covers the team.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk yesterday about Post getting more time, maybe starting. Did you guys get any feel for if he does, is that in place of Rosberg? Is that in place of Williams? Any idea?
Yeah, at least me, I didn't get any feel for who that would be for. You know, I don't want to speculate on that just because I'm not sure, but I think the big thing is whether he starts or not, he's going to get 20 or so minutes in this game, which is going to be a big step up, obviously, from his year so far.
Yeah, I know when I covered the SEC tournament in Nashville last year, it was kind of like nobody really even knew the tournament was going on until Kentucky played. I mean, Do you have any feel for it? I don't know if you went over it all last night. I imagine there were about 17 people that watched Auburn, South Carolina, and Vandy, and whoever beat them. Honestly, at this point, I've kind of already forgotten. But, I mean, is there much of a, like, big event feel around that at all, or is it kind of a bridge to spring football for everybody there?
Yeah, no, it definitely, I mean, the only thing I can really compare it to is the SEC championship football game here in December, and it's obviously nowhere near that. It seems like, I mean, they have a lot of festivities and stuff like that going, and it did get pretty cold today, so I think that has kept some people indoors. But walking around outside the dome today, the only with fans, I saw a big group of Kentucky fans, some Arkansas fans, and then some Florida fans. And obviously, Florida and Kentucky aren't even playing today, but it's definitely not really a packed house. And I imagine it won't be until some of those bigger programs start to play tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Kentucky, I mean, I thought Nashville was Lexington last year. You saw, I mean, they weren't even any good, and they just had, I bet they had over 50% of the arena, and I imagine it'll be somewhat similar because I think Atlanta's even closer.
Yeah, yeah. I would expect, I mean, honestly, I think even today we can see a whole lot of Kentucky fans. For the day session and into the evening.
All right, I know now if Missouri wins this game, and really this whole tournament is, this game is, the only thing that can happen to make any sort of a statement would be negative, because this tournament for Missouri is all about getting to Florida and figuring out some way that they can be the first team all year to beat Florida at full strength. I mean, what's Florida's schedule? Are they in now? Are they practicing today? Or do you have any idea? Is there any availability for the Gators?
No, all the teams that start tomorrow, they don't have any availability. Yesterday, the practices and press conferences were open, but those were just for the teams that play today. So there's no availability for Florida today. I mean, they're probably practicing at one of the colleges and universities here in the Atlanta area. But, yeah, we won't see them or hear from them really until tomorrow.
And you may never see them, to be quite honest, depending on what happens today. I mean, It is, to me, you know, the way I termed it is, you manage to somehow find a way to beat Florida tomorrow, it gives you a chance at the NCAA tournament. You follow it up with another win over Tennessee or Arkansas, you might start to feel kind of good. But obviously, you got to win the whole thing for anything approaching a guarantee. Was there any talk yesterday, you know, from Haith or the players about what they think they have to do to have any chance to be in the NCAA tournament?
It was a little weird. You know, they didn't talk specifically about what they felt like they needed to do to get in, but they did. I mean, every player used the cliche about focusing, you know, on this first game, but they all admitted that, yeah, they know they need to go on a run. So, you know, they didn't talk specifics, but they know they need to win at least a couple of games here. I think one of the big things, though, is whether they win today or not, I think they need to look good doing it to give them some kind of confidence going into tomorrow. If they're going to win today, if the squeaker of another game like it was in Columbia, I wouldn't give them any shot tomorrow. I think this game could be huge for their confidence, though, especially if Post is playing more. If Jabari Brown can get out of this slump, I mean, today is so key, not even just for winning, but for playing well.
Yeah, I think we all look at this tournament and think it would be fairly shocking if Florida isn't in the championship and probably winning it. But this tournament's weird, man. Over the last few years, there have been some teams that just nobody thought had much of a chance that have actually gone on and won the whole thing. I mean, what do you think? Let's say it's not Florida. You know, who do you think is a team that kind of out of the field, maybe a team that's not playing on day one that might have a chance to go get it done?
Yeah, it actually seems like here, at least a lot of the writers, they're not picking Florida. Tennessee seems to be everybody's pick, just because people are saying, you know, Florida doesn't really have a whole lot to play for. They pretty much already have the number one seed locked up. But I think if it's not Florida, you know, Tennessee is the dark horse. But, you know, I think Arkansas is playing really well, and I think they're a team that can go on a run. I don't think that would be a huge surprise, just because they have been playing well. But then I honestly wouldn't count out Georgia either, just because of what they've done this year and kind of that leader they have in you know, Fox with their coach. I think they could go on a run here as well.
Yeah, I think last one for you. I mean, the bottom half of this bracket, to me, Kentucky doesn't scare anybody. I mean, we all know what they can do. They can show up and play their best game like they did against Missouri, and they might be, you know, a Final Four team if they do that, but they've never done that on a consistent basis. The key to me is, honestly, you'd have rather finished 10th than 8th in this league. because you avoid Florida. And I think Florida is just so much better than everybody else in this league. I don't think they have to care much about this tournament to make it to the title game.
Yeah, and that was kind of my thought yesterday, too. It's even if they are focused on, you know, the NCAA tournament and getting and already having that one seed locked up, their kind of default coasting mode is still probably better than anybody else in this tournament.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Pete, I know tip off in about an hour, so appreciate the coverage, and make sure your mom knows where to pick you up outside the Georgia Dome.
All right,
we'll talk to you, man. Pete Scantlebury on the scene in Atlanta, Georgia, his hometown, old stomping grounds. Georgia Dome, first of all, it's way too big of a venue. This tournament needs to get back to Nashville in a hurry. It will next year, I think, for the next 5 or 6 years. Nashville's a great place to have it. It's a really fun town with a lot of other things to do. Listen, the SEC basketball tournament is never going to be the main show in town. This is not the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City where it just takes over the town. It's just not going to happen. You know, I'll finish up with a little bit of opinion here. First of all, I think Missouri beats Texas A&M today, and I think they get it handed to them by Florida tomorrow, and then wait and see where they play an NIT game. But back to, you know, the SEC tournament as compared to that other one that Missouri played in for a long time. And I've talked to a few people this week. This is the one week a year where I think Missouri fans miss the Big 12. The Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, I grew up there. I'd go down there as a 14-year-old and get tickets. You know, Iowa State fans were all over the place. Obviously, KU, K-State, and Missouri. The Big 8, Big 12 tournament is it was a great event. And this week, I think we're contrasting an SEC tournament that is perhaps as boring and as uninspiring as any in SEC tournament history. Contrast that with the Big 12 tournament, that this might be the best Big 12 tournament ever. I mean, the 8th seed is Oklahoma State. They were a preseason pick to win the league. They play Kansas later this afternoon. And, you know, I think this is the one week where Missouri fans are a little bit, you know, melancholy about the league change. However, the thing I would point out is that feeling that Missouri fans have this week, that's the feeling Big 12 fans have from June through January when the country's talking about football, you know, and I think the SEC can come back. It's been a good basketball league in the past. It's not right now. There's no question about it, but I think it'll get there. Florida obviously is in great shape. Kentucky, you know, brings in a lot of talent. Tennessee finally, I think, is going to make the tournament under Quanzo Martin. They've got a lot of talent. Arkansas, I think they're going to miss the tournament because I think they'll probably beat South Carolina today. I think they'll lose to Tennessee. I think that Arkansas-Tennessee game is a play-in game. The winner of that game, I think, is in the NCAA tournament. If Arkansas wins, I think Tennessee's still got a chance to make it. I'm not sure they will, but if things break their way, they could lose that game and still make it. I don't think Arkansas can. If Arkansas loses that game, I think Arkansas is out. My picks for the SEC tournament, I'm just going to run through them real quick. I think Missouri beats A&M today. I think Arkansas beats South Carolina. LSU-Alabama, I don't have a clue. I'm going to go LSU because they have talent, and I don't think Alabama has a lot. Mississippi State beat Vanderbilt last night. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and pick them to win another game and upset Ole Miss. Georgia beats Mississippi State. LSU upsets Kentucky. Tennessee beats Arkansas, Florida beats Missouri, Florida beats Tennessee, Georgia beats LSU, and Florida takes down Georgia in the championship game. Florida has not been beaten with its full roster available this year. So I've got Florida winning the title game at 3:15 on Sunday, 3:15 local time. And I've got Missouri, honestly, not having a whole lot of reason to watch this selection show, because if they don't beat Florida, there is zero chance, I think, that Missouri is an NCAA tournament team. Beat Florida, then it gets interesting. I still am of the belief you have to follow it up with a win over Tennessee or Arkansas. And I think if Missouri could do that, if they could beat Florida and then beat the Tennessee-Arkansas winner, I think they'd get in. That said, folks, I just don't have a lot of reason to think that's going to happen. But either way, next week, we'll either be wrapping up the season or we'll skip the podcast because I'll be on the road covering the NCAA tournament. I think the first is far more likely than the second. And we'll get into spring football, talk a little recruiting, do all that. Thanks for listening. Be back next week on the podcast.